Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
You're either down with the First Amendment or you're not.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 5, Episode 11, Hate is Just a Four-Letter Word. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and host, Sarah DiPapa.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello. How are you?
I'm ready to talk about issues on the campuses of 1994.
Accompanied by the Semitic clarinet.
and the sad, sad violin. We're not there yet. Let's start with our B story. Do we have any site business before we begin?
No, I don't think we do. So right. Let's get on with it.
Okay. Starting with our B story, Dylan recovery, whatever. So at the hospital, Dylan lies in bed getting a drip. Iris has been waiting to pounce on him the second he woke up. And Iris has numerological objections to the room that he's in because, of course, she does. She says some of his friends have been by, but he doesn't want to see anyone, not even Val, and not even when Iris says that she's been keeping a round-the-clock vigil and has a healing aura, apparently. I wonder if it's green. And then Jamie, the dumb intern from the last episode, wants to talk to him. She's studying the dreams of patients who've had near-death experiences. Because of course she is. And then we get flashes of the dream we just spent 17 hours watching in the last episode, or so it felt. And Dylan denies that he had any dreams at all. Moving on, Val comes to the hospital to see how Dylan is. She's already learned all the hippie phrases she can spout to keep Iris on her side, which is kind of funny. Val is nothing if not good at code shifting. But when she asks to see Dylan, Iris says he's too ashamed to have visitors. And Val says there's nothing to be ashamed of. Iris tells her to give it time and love. Val wishes there was something she could do. Iris says there is. She can go to his house and pick up some of his personal stuff. And as Iris digs out the keys, Val silently schemes, which you can see in the visual aid because I made a GIF on previously.tv. At the house, Val rifles through everything. Now, let me ask you this, Sarah. What did you think she was looking for? Because I thought she was looking for his gun.
I didn't really understand what she was looking for.
Okay.
Honestly. Or, like, I thought she was just going to, like, take a t-shirt of his to smell it.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
She, and I'd also like to say, I hope she was looking for a high flow shower head because her hair is no bueno in this episode.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not as good as it has been. She's been afflicted
still by. Still better than Kelly's.
Well, I was going to say she's got sheepdog-itis like Kelly does, yeah. But yeah. Anyway, what she ends up finding is a tiny stash, and she flushes it down Dylan's toilet, which I guess is magic, like the one at the beach apartment. And then John Graves is at the door, claiming to be an old surfing buddy. Val can tell that he's a sketchball, and so when he fishes around for information on what Dylan's deal is at the moment, she doesn't offer it. Yet, when he asks to leave a message, she does let him in the house. Nothing comes of that, so whatever. But then Dylan wakes up to find John Graves leaning over his bed. He offers a taste of drugs, unless Dylan's getting the good pharmaceutical stuff. And he threatens to pull out Dylan's IV and tells Dylan that when the cops come to arrest him, he should forget he ever knew John Graves, and puts on a hearty voice to tell Dylan to get better just as Iris walks in, and she must sense that he has a bad aura because she gives such a hilarious stink face. I made a GIF of that as well. Oh, good Lord. Then Dylan and Iris are still talking about Jamie and her dumb dream study. Iris considers dreams the window of the soul because, of course, she does. Dylan's not sure about going into inpatient rehab. He says he needs something a little unconventional. God, Dylan, you are basic. Just accept it.
Yeah.
Iris says they'll find him something. Dylan says it'll have to be something cheap, but Iris tells him not to worry about the money. So I guess despite all of her talk about how she never touched any of the money that Jack gave her, I guess she must have kept some because she's not getting that selling fucking frond hats on the beach in Maui. Moving on.
Well, or maybe she converted her little whatever palm hut into an air tree and be.
Oh, that's so good. But before we move on
it's
to
really
our...
not. I apologize for everything.
Before we move on to our A story, we have a message from Charlotte.
Since Charlotte and her husband...
to be announced...
are celebrating their 20th anniversary this week. Hey, just like Jim and Cindy Walsh did last season.
With that in mind, we made a list of the top five ways we hope history does not repeat itself at...
to be announced.
And Charlotte's celebration.
Number five, we hope none of your guests gets all pissy and smashes a bottle of your booze against an exterior wall of your home.
Number four, we hope no deadbeat dads offload their toddlers on their teen sons, forcing them to bring said toddlers to crash a grown-up party.
Number three, we hope no one's meddling mother-in-law tries to second-guess the caterer.
Number two, we hope no one makes a stupid jigsaw puzzle out of your wedding portrait and also gets it framed. Like, why? I'm still not over it.
Number one, we really hope none of your teen offspring tries to upstage you by announcing their own doomed engagements at your party.
From all of us here, happy anniversary,
Charlotte Ann.
To be announced.
She forgot to tell us her husband's name, guys.
I got a few guesses. I was going to pepper him in, but let me just say him here.
Oh, all right.
Wilbur?
I had three opportunities, so my guesses were Josh, Dennis, or Chris.
Oh, okay. I was going to suggest Harry or Trey, since those were the names of Charlotte's husband on Sex and the City. Or possibly Roos, because of Charlotte Roos, the store/dessert. Sarah, did you have any guesses?
I went with Wilbur from Charlotte's Web.
Oh, yeah, nice. Sure. Very nice. Maybe we'll find out. Post on the forums or tweet at us to let us know your husband's names. Happy anniversary, seriously. Moving on to our A story. Andrea is the best at Jewish, but interferes with Kelly's modeling career and Ray's birthday. So Kelly is a model, though she booked this before her hair was all flat. It's now time for the shoot. Which is almost upon her, and Steve is pitching himself as her agent. Kelly is all, I'm not a model, like no one cares. Steve points to the Peach Pit After Dark as proof of his business acumen. Also, by the way, the football tournament is still fucking going on, if you could fucking believe it. So remember in the episode with Nando, the war criminal, and how Brandon was introduced as the president and treated as the president by the students who wanted him to speak out against the regime in Fakenesia, and we were like, guess that whole Senate challenge blew over. Well, apparently not, as we hear in clip number two.
How can you keep coming to these student Senate meetings if nobody else ever comes?
Force of habit, I guess.
I'm sorry.
That's not so bad. I just bang my gavel and go.
Bang my gavel anytime.
Ugh.
No. Nope. Hang with me for 2 seconds. This won't take long.
I refuse to be called a racist, Janice.
She didn't call you a racist, Levy. I did.
Walsh is here. Let's get started.
Excellent.
First time anyone's ever said that when Brandon entered a room. Yes, Dave?
I have an anatomy question.
Uh-huh.
What exactly is the gavel? And you can bang my gavel anytime.
Yeah, is it the little gavel in the boat? Is that what G in G-spot stands for?
But that's gavel? More of the thing that you smack the gavel on.
Right.
That's the gavel disc.
Is this getting into an area where that's we know less
that's
about
the
lady
court
parts
taurus.
Than Donald Trump? Oh.
Also, if that
I'll
is,
let myself out.
Yeah, if that is what she was referring to, the fact that bang is the word that Brandon uses for it is very telling about a lot. Let's not think about it. It's disgusting. Anyway, Sarah, did you have any comments about the beginning of this horrible storyline?
No, except that remember the cut? It was during the debate episode. Mm-hmm. It was like, I'm sure this will be very quiet, no one will even come to it, and then cut to like extras herniatically gesturing to indicate conflict.
Right.
This is that, but in the Senate chamber, which it's not a chamber, it's a room.
Yeah.
Give me a break with dais this and rostrum that. And no, like, is it Noah Levy?
I can't remember his first name.
I was like, is this someone who like lost a little like baby fat weight later and became a character actor that we know? Because it seems like he was, but no. Mm. Not for lack of effort here, however.
Yikes. All right, well, moving on. Also, just to make sure that you know where he's coming from, they also put him in a yarmulke. Like, okay. Anyway, Andrea, speaking of yarmulkes, is getting Grandma Rose prepped to look after the baby, and Grandma Rose keeps it light. Clip number 3.
You know, Hannah's looking more like Eli every day.
Who's Eli?
Sadie's son.
Well, you never mentioned him.
He was a happy little boy. I was his babysitter. He died in the camps.
Oh, God.
Oh, that Eli.
Yes, Dave?
You're saying Grandma Rose, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I heard Grandma Rose, like, it was like cornrows, or it was like some old lady tough street hairdo.
Except blue.
Yeah. That's if it. You'd like to illustrate Grandma Rose and send it to us, I guarantee you maximum coverage for your artistic skills. EHG at, let's say, david@previously.tv. Thank you.
Yeah, Grandma Rose can, you know, it doesn't have to come up in every single conversation. I feel like that was really weird and awkward. Like, we remember this from the other times that she's been on the show. Come on.
Never forget, Tara.
I guess. Then we get a preview of the issues we'll be grappling with this week as this African-American gentleman speaks on a VHS tape in clip number 4.
It's no secret that the Jews on Wall Street control the banks in this country, that they control the media, the Congress, the State Department, the whole kosher pickle. And if you dare to question the scope of their influence, they call you anti-Semite and demand a public apology. Well, when have they apologized for buying up the slums of our cities and charging the highest of rents to the poorest of our black brothers and sisters? When have they apologized for sucking the lifeblood out of our communities? The fact is, I have never heard one Jew apologize for the 250 million Africans that died in the holds of their slave ships during the Middle Passage.
That is just a sampling of the pernicious lies that Reverend Turner's...
That speech is 5 years old. Turner's comments were taken completely out of context.
Get it, everyone?
I mean, what context?
Yeah.
When this aired, like... There was a big flap when I was at university about Minister Farrakhan coming to speak for exactly this reason. So this definitely was like a contemporary preoccupation.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate it when the show tries to step to this shit because it's just so embarrassing for everyone involved and it's only going to get worse. Let's get on with it.
Yeah. I mean, yes, basically it's like, let's present all of the sides and then not take any. Like, it really is just like, let's do a panopticon of how everyone feels about everything. And then the end. OK, moving on. We'll never talk about any of this again, which not that I want them to talk about it in the first place, but like at least pick a side. Anyway, whatever.
Totally.
This guy's name is Roland Turner and he's scheduled to speak on campus this Friday. The ticking clock. But Levy moves that he be barred. And we find out that he's representing something called the Maccabees Center, because I guess Hillel was like, leave us out of this. Janice, Levy's opponent, says that the Black Student Union is paying Turner out of its discretionary funds, but Levy argues that it's still the school's money. Brandon finally breaks in to gavel for order, and Janice says it's a freedom of speech matter, but Brandon closes in his usual useless way in clip number 5.
Look, obviously this is a very emotional issue, and I don't think we're going to get
point of order, Mr. President. But a motion's been put on the floor.
Well, I'm tabling that motion, Alex, pending further study.
Get the vote, man.
Meeting's adjourned. We'll reconvene at 2. Let's go, Phil.
That's our fearless leader.
You can't run away from this, Brandon.
You didn't think that Walsh would actually have an opinion without checking with the chancellor first, did you?
You're a funny guy, Alex.
Oh, Alex, God bless you.
Yes. God bless you indeed. Now the part where we talk about the First Amendment.
Yeah, sure. Why don't we?
Okay. Well, as usual, this isn't exactly a First Amendment issue. The government shall make no law abridging all the things it's not supposed to abridge: peaceful assembly, religion, speech, etc. Mm-hmm. California University, I don't know if this is different because it's a state school, mm-hmm. but it's still a private institution. So if it wants not to invite a speaker for these reasons, like, the First Amendment has nothing to do with this. And it really drives me crazy when the First Amendment is brought up in situations like this where it's like, well, okay. Yeah. No, that's not what it means. That's not what it says. It's not relevant here. I am down with the First Amendment, Janice, but that's not the point.
Right. This is the same thing that always comes out when it's like Don Imus gets fired for saying something fucking racist on the radio. The First Amendment, like, he can say it, but he has to also face the consequences of saying those things, which is his employer might not want to give him a platform anymore.
I always kind of think of it as the Eric Cartman understanding of things, where he's just, I do what I want. And it's like the First Amendment is like, you know, the backup argument for that.
For stupid people, for sure that is true. Yes.
Yeah. Like, you can't make it illegal.
Right.
But yeah.
Yes. But that doesn't mean you can just freeball whatever you want to do.
It is not consequence free.
Right.
As it were.
Yes. So without getting back to Brandon, though, without knowing anything about any other CU president, I'm going to go ahead and say that he's the worst that the school has ever had, because here's what happens when we next see him. Clip number 6.
What'd they say?
Chancellor Arnold's leaving for a retreat tonight, but Dean Whitmore offered to bring all the parties together for a powwow.
Well, that's good.
But we all agreed the administration shouldn't get involved until after the Senate votes.
Why would you do that?
Because student government's supposed to be autonomous, we should be able to work it out by ourselves.
You will.
With Alex Diaz calling the shots?
Yeah, he did seem to be playing one side against the other.
Exactly. He knows the review board's going to meet in the next couple of weeks to decide whether or not I have the right to be president, and this is his way of showing how little support I have.
Well, you have me. And don't forget how persuasive you can be one-on-one.
Does that mean I can persuade you to go back to your apartment for a little game of slap and tickle?
Don't you have a football game?
Oh, my God.
Yuck.
Yeah, thanks. I'm gay again. Great. Thanks, Brandon.
Slap and tickle? What year is it in your reactionary brain, shelf head?
Well, it actually could be this year, this week. But,
well, yeah. That's true. Anyway, Brandon totally is the chancellor's lackey. Everything Alex says is true. Suck a dick, Brandon. You're terrible. We hate you. Moving on. Brandon makes it to the game after Keg has lost. He's not interested in a postmortem from Steve, as he sees Janice sitting at a table outside and asks to join her for some mansplaining. By the way, she has a scrunchie in her hair and a second scrunchie around her wrist because it's 1994. And yes, I took a picture. It's in the visual aids. Let's hear the beginning of their discussion in clip number 7.
Look, Janice, I know you're a major part of this Senate boycott with Diaz.
One thing has nothing to do with the other.
Well, sure, it just happens to be a coincidence that you laid all this on my lap after you haven't been to a meeting in 2 months.
Brandon, don't look for a grand conspiracy here. This month marks the 25th anniversary of the Black Student Union on this campus, which is something every African-American at CU is very proud of. And we've been planning a broad spectrum of cultural events, such as folk dancers from Senegal and poetry readings.
And a keynote address by one of the most controversial men in America.
Hey, I wanted Anita Hill to come, but I was outvoted, so I went with the majority. That's how a democracy works.
But Turner's ideas are so extreme.
They used to say the same thing about Malcolm and Dr. King and Marcus Garvey. You've heard of Marcus Garvey, haven't you?
Marcus Garvey, he was a big, tall guy. Didn't he play for the Houston Rockets?
Don't encourage him.
Not funny, because he obviously doesn't know who Marcus Garvey is.
Yeah. Whatever. He's the one who maybe killed Nicole Simpson, right? Just kidding. Brandon has had an idea as to how to make the Turner speech less volatile. CU could pay for the speech, but hold it off campus. But as we heard up top, Janice says, you're either down with the First Amendment or you're not. Brandon says he knows what she means. I guarantee he doesn't. Moving on. At the beach apartment, Claire's new hair, it's been so bad all season, but in this scene, she has it like curled back, parted in the middle and curled back like Janet in season one of Three's Company.
Yeah, it's like trying to be a Farrah, but it's
so short.
Already a mullet. Yeah, it's just not. Oh, it's awful.
Donna's hair is also horrible in the scene in the usual ways that we've been seeing. You can see them both in the visual aids if you dare. Donna's getting all bent out of shape about her repetitive horoscope, which tells her to accent the unorthodox, use the elements of timing and surprise to get what she wants. Out comes Ray, all beefcakey, having just fixed her sink. He tells her he's a Scorpio, which Donna notes is the period that they are currently in. And when she asks when his birthday is, he says it's Friday. She declares that they're having a party, but he doesn't want to be reminded of how old he is, which is 25. Oh, my God, Grandpa. And as he shambles off, Donna tells Claire that they're still having a party, but it'll be a surprise. And they remind us that in Shannon Doherty's absence, she's taken over as, oh, shit, I forgot to clip it. But she.
What's the gist of it? I can do it.
I can't accent. She says accent the unorthodox like that without enunciating her words.
The unorthodox.
The unorthodox. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. In the library, Levy spots Andrea and introduces himself as being from the Maccabee Center and a friend of Dan's. And as he looms over her and asks what she's up to, Andrea gets uncomfortable and tells him that she has a baby and is married and starts hustling out of there. He refuses to take her go-away hints, and it soon becomes clear that he's not hitting on her, which is obviously what she thinks, as he asks if she's still friends with Brandon. And when she says she is, he asks her to use her influence to get Brandon to side with the Maccabee Center about this speech. This is the first that Andrea has heard of it, but she says she'll call Brandon. But before she goes, he gives her the tape of Turner talking all crazy. So then we next see Andrea showing up at the Walsh house to lecture Brandon about Turner. And once again, Brandon is useless in clip 8.
How can you defend Roland Turner?
I'm not.
Did you see this tape?
Saw part of it.
Well, did you see the part where he questions whether the Jews faked their deaths in Auschwitz so that the UN would vote to create the State of Israel?
He said
Auschwitz?
That.
Yeah, he said that. Now you understand what kind of man we're dealing with.
Still, he apologized for that speech.
Apologized to whom? The 6 million Jews who died in the Holocaust? Please, the only reason he said anything was because ABC News got a hold of this tape.
Look, I agree with you. Turner's obviously a racist, and he's probably an anti-Semite.
Probably an anti-Semite?
Listen, the Student Senate's going to reconvene at 2 o'clock tomorrow. My sources tell me they're going to vote 10 to 5 in support of the Black Student Union on this one.
And how are you going to vote?
I'll probably abstain.
Ugh. I don't believe you.
Hey, the other side's got the vote on this one. They don't care what I think. It's a done deal.
This is a backroom deal.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Well, they won't be surprised when Janice Williams and Alex Diaz drop their challenge to your presidency.
I think you know me a little better than that.
That's okay, Brandon. You're just a political animal like the rest of them.
Well, wait a second. You come over to my house at 11 o'clock at night to lobby me to vote your way and I'm a political animal?
Shame on you.
Girls, you're both stupid.
Jesus. Oh, God. Andrea, first of all, getting on her high horse about this issue that she just found out about like 3 hours ago is fucking rich, first of all.
Yeah, especially when the actress was not given an opportunity to pronounce Auschwitz correctly.
Yes.
Like, that's important, I feel.
Yes.
If I could pronounce it, give her another take. If she's supposed to be the best at Jewish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But also, Brandon being like, I'll probably abstain. You are the worst. Like, even if you know you're going to lose, you could still take a side. Like, choose a position rather than just try and ride the middle. I mean, I know why the show is making him do this, but it only undercuts his character to have him be so spineless all the time. Like, it's exactly the Nando episode all over again.
Well, and especially, like, if the other side has the votes on this one.
Right.
It costs you nothing to just cast the vote the way that you see fit.
Exactly.
So why don't you just do that?
Right. Because he's never heard of Roland Turner before today either, because he's fucking dumb and doesn't read the paper, as we know. Moving on. Yay, Deshaun is back. He runs into Brandon in the gym, and Brandon uses the flimsiest pretext possible to bring up his current dilemma with the only black person he knows in clip number 9.
Which team won this year, bud?
First game's down in Long Beach this Friday if you want to come check it out.
I'm supposed to go to a surprise party this Friday. Unless, of course, we have to call out the National Guard to protect Mr. Turner.
The talk was that was going to be canceled.
Well, the Senate votes on it today. But my prediction is he's going to be there.
You're not too thrilled about that, huh?
Frankly, no. Janice Williams keeps assuring me that his real message is about self-reliance and self-discipline, but I don't know. What do you think?
I think Roland Turner's a promoter, Brandon. What are they paying him, $10,000?
Something like that.
Yeah, well, I get suspicious of anyone who tells poor people what they want to hear at $10,000 a pop. Don't let yourself get dragged in it. It'll just make you crazy.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks, man.
End of episode. Thank you, Deshaun.
Seriously, this is the best argument that we hear in the entire episode about this whole thing. Like, that's a really good, smart point. Thanks, Deshaun.
Yeah, and he only ups his asking price by making you dumb shits fight over him. So just let it happen and move on.
Yeah. Then it's the photo shoot. Nora, the art director, gives Kelly tips as she gets her hair and makeup done and then tells Kelly her life is about to change. I doubt it. Steve and Donna let themselves right into Kelly's tailor to be annoying. Donna's outfit is completely insane. It's in the visual aids. It's like a crop top with a Peter Pan collar and a skirt.
And like sailor napkin mini skirt. It's, yeah. I mean, Kelly's is equally insane. It's yet another like unfortunate Empire waist thing. That, yeah, it's not cute.
And it's white. Like, stop putting this pale, pale, pale woman in white. It makes her look so bad. Anyway, they were going to shoot Kelly on the main quad, but maybe not, because an anti-Turner protest is happening, led by Levy. Somehow no one on the photo shoot poked a head out of the trailer to look at their location at all. But anyway, Andrea is there collecting signatures and apparently doesn't care. She gets them from complete morons, as we hear in clip number 10.
Yeah, we're going to take this personal, but I'm not really into politics, Andrea.
Don't think about politics. You're Jewish, aren't you?
Yeah, sure, I'm Jewish.
Then how can you tolerate anti-Semitism?
Because being Jewish has never really been a problem for me.
David, of course it hasn't been. You grew up in Beverly Hills.
No, Andrea, maybe it's because I never made such a big deal about it.
Fine, don't sign it.
Andrea.
No, you know what? There is an old parable about a man who said nothing when they went and arrested people from another city because he didn't know who they were. And he didn't say anything when they went to take his neighbors away because he figured, hey, it has nothing to do with me. And finally, when they came to his house, he wondered why there was no one left to stand up for him.
Because they'd all died of boredom during the stupid fucking subplot?
Because they'd cried themselves to death by dehydration at this faux Schindler's List music? That's seriously, that last line of the melody, I swear, is lifted directly from the Schindler's List soundtrack, and I'm not even kidding.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And also, like, you can... It's just so stupid that it's like, well, you're Jewish, so you have to be against anti-Semitism. Like,
right.
You're a human being,
right.
Is why you need to be against anti-Semitism. It's anti-Semitism, you fuckwits. Yeah. They're setting up these, like, false oppositions, and it's like, you guys actually aren't even fighting. What?
Yeah.
What? Like,
right.
The problem is that some one of you is not making any sense. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Andrea is still able to tell the campus news that they've collected 1,500 signatures in 6 hours, but things devolve quickly in clip 11.
See, they don't want a black man to tell them like it is, because that scares them.
No, it's your ignorance that scares me.
Who are you calling ignorant, bitch?
Hey, look, I don't know.
Turn this school into a 3-ring media circus.
We'll get through this, Brandon.
Yes, Brandon is the one that needs reassurance. God. Ridiculous.
An African-American dean who, based on what we find out later, should really have drop-kicked Brandon into the sun for his intransigence about a week ago. But no, fine. Kidding. Dean Whitmore.
After Dean Whitmore has moved on, Alex rolls up to razz Brandon about his friends having turned on him and also has some critiques of Brandon's leadership that I agree with 100% in clip 12.
Well, you know, if you'd have taken the vote yesterday like a real president would have, none of this would have happened.
Word.
DS.
The best. And then Kelly is just wandering around campus in her shoot wardrobe looking for Brandon so that she can complain that politics are scuttling the thing that she set up top she didn't even want to do in clip 13.
Is this what you're wearing in the photo shoot?
I don't think there's going to be a photo shoot unless the Maccabee Center decides to move their little demonstration.
Fat chance. Andre and her friends are so bent out of shape about this, there's no reasoning with them.
Yeah, those Jews are so hysterical, right, guys? What?
Also, when was reasoning with them even attempted by you?
Honestly, I heard praying, but not reasoning. Anyway, sure enough, skittish Charles, the photographer who we don't ever get to meet, has called off the photo shoot. And Nora, the art director, has an opinion on all of this, too, in clip 14.
You know, I've worked in Milan, Paris, all over the world because of what I can do. Because of who I am inside. And it's only here, in the land of the free, that I'm constantly reminded that it is all about the color of my skin.
France is pretty racist too, from what I read saying.
Yeah, Russia?
Yeah.
Oh, they're all over the place, Tara.
Yeah. But anyway, now that two black people have told him what they think, Brandon has decided he's ready to have an opinion too, and cock walks in for the student senate vote in clip 15.
Oh my god, it's so cockwalky.
I made a gif in the visual aids.
He looks like he's trying to hold a barrel between his legs. it's like this polka walk. I'm so glad that you gifted, because I had a note that I needed to if you didn't. But nope. Of course you did.
Of course I did. Anyway, clip 15, please.
All right, now before this meeting gets started, there are a few things I'd like to say.
I'm going to kill myself? Is that one of the things?
We have to evacuate the Union immediately. Somebody just called in a bomb threat.
And that somebody was Tara.
I was going to say that somebody was Brandon, so that he didn't actually have to take a position on this issue at all.
That somebody was Charles. That's why we don't see him. He was trying to find a working payphone. Kids, ask your parents.
Oh, God. There is more to this story. But first, we have a birthday list for Allie. Compliments of her friends Becky, Noah, and Kristen. 5 ways Allie is better at life than the Dingles of Beverly Hills 90210.
Reason number 1, she actually cares for and walks her dogs, Samantha and Pixie, instead of forgetting them outside like Brenda did with her dog back in Minnesota, or freeing them from a lab environment with no plan after that like Brenda also did. Sigh, Brenda.
Reason number 2, instead of drinking a ton of meth and orange juice, as you do, Allie's addicted to the relatively wholesome Diet Coke and does not wear a backwards faux Kangol while drinking it, we hope.
Number 3, she loves camping in the autumn and would never get wasted on 2 weensy little bottles of airline booze because of feelings, and...
Number 4, if Brandon fell off a tiny outcropping, Allie would do humanity a favor and wait for him to get tired and tumble to his tiny death instead of saving his braying ass.
And number 5, when she and her group of friends go to Las Vegas, it'll be to beast the blackjack tables and not to marry that stunod Stuart.
Happy 40th
from all of us.
Here
it again with this.
And again with this. It's very hard to coordinate that and do it in unison because of the lag of our Slack recording.
That's
but anyway,
what Dave is for.
Happy birthday, Allie. On we go. After the commercial, Dean Whitmore is on the phone with who else? The Chancellor. The suspects for the bomb threat are the JDL and the KKK, or maybe they're working together. Just kidding. The Senate voted to let Turner come. Brandon thinks things will only get worse now, and he hangs up the phone and dials up the self-pity in clip 16.
I'm already working on my resignation speech.
I hope you're kidding.
Half kidding. I don't want to be remembered as the guy who presided over the Civil War.
That right there is why you're not qualified presided. That's not how that word is pronounced. Also, you know that other shitty president everyone hates who presided over a civil war? Just saying.
Yeah, really.
Also, maybe this is not about you, Brandon. And then you're not going to believe this, but Brandon is about to hear from a third black person in clip 17.
You don't know much about my background, but I was one of the first black students admitted to the University of Georgia. And I remember the threats and the catcalls when we tried to desegregate the lunch counters and register new voters.
Were you one of the Freedom Riders?
And I was there at the reflecting pool in Washington when Martin Luther King spoke about his dream. And every step of the way, in every battle that needed to be fought, Jewish people were right there with us. To have it all unravel after only one generation is a very sobering thought.
Brandon contemplates.
Feelings.
Or excuse me, contemplates.
Yeah. Also, Brandon, no one's impressed that you've heard of a Freedom Rider, so save it. Then Kelly's coming home to the beach apartment to say they're not doing the photo shoot on campus anymore, given all the unrest. That's the bad news. The good news is they're considering putting her on the cover. Kelly acts like she doesn't care, but she obviously does. However, the shoot's been moved to Friday night, so she can't come to Ray's party. Steve's not going to come either out of loyalty to Griffin, who, why would Ray care? What? Kelly hates him, and Steve has never met him, or barely has met him, as far as I can recall. Andre's not coming because of Jew stuff. Kelly's not coming. Brandon won't. And Dylan obviously isn't coming either because he's in the hospital. Donna suggests inviting Val, but Kelly says she shouldn't unless she wants Val to steal her boyfriend. Val didn't steal anyone's boyfriend, bitch. Let's get the accusation straight. Just saying.
Anyway. And she won't need an invitation. She'll just do it because she's a boss.
Yeah. Or she won't, because who cares? It's Ray.
Exactly. But spoiler, whatever.
Right.
More for you.
It's decided that they're just going to have a small dinner party. Ray and Donna and David and Claire. Donna asks her to go, ask Kelly to go with her to pick out Ray's gift. And once Kelly says, anything for you, bubby, David gets all weird. When they're alone, David asks Claire what she thinks about him being Jewish. Like, what is she supposed to say to that? I mean, is that a trap? Like, he's trying to get her to admit she's anti-Semitic.
I did notice you were circumcised. Why? It's L.A.
Right. Seriously. Obviously, Claire says she doesn't think of him that way. To her, he doesn't seem to have any religious or tribal affiliation, I guess. And she asks if he makes a difference to him. He doesn't know. Meanwhile, at Andrea and Jesse's place, Andrea takes a break from working the phones to have a stupid fight with Jesse in clip 18.
I wish the phone would stop ringing already. What are you smiling about?
Andrea, I'm your husband. I love you. But you gotta admit, you thrive on this stuff.
What stuff?
The controversy, the politics, being in the limelight.
Jesse, don't cheapen what this is about, okay? It's not about me. It is about Roland Turner and his warped sense of history.
Okay. Okay, in that case, yeah. Sorry I said anything.
I want to hear what it is you have to say. I just don't know what it is you're saying.
Well, in my opinion, there's definitely a clear difference between free speech and hate speech. But people are allowed to have other opinions, Andrea.
But I didn't say they weren't.
Then tell that to Brandon.
Excuse me, Brandon is a whole different story. He abstained because he didn't want to offend anybody. And in
true.
The process, he alienated everybody.
Okay, I think the news is starting.
Jesse, please talk to me.
Well, what am I supposed to say? You're dynamic. You're smart. You're beautiful. You're passionate. You're a good mom. But you're not a very tolerant person, Andrea. You're just not.
The violence, really, now? I mean, he's right, but also, like, just save it. She doesn't need to hear that right now.
Well, and he's right, but his basic point, really, is that she's being, you know, strident and hysterical.
Right.
He doesn't use those words, but that's what he means. And he's like, I love your passion, except now it's annoying me because I have to put the baby down.
Yeah.
And not to mention, she's being intolerant, quote unquote, of anti-Semitism.
Right.
They're not equivalent. No. Go fuck yourself.
Right. Yeah. However, Andre then goes on to prove him right by giving a fiery news interview on the local news, which Brandon watches in the kitchen at the Walsh house before moping off, pouting that he can't watch any more of this. Jim tries to calm him down. God, this will be rich. Clip 19.
You try to come up with a compromise that everyone can live with, and then a friend of yours goes on TV and makes you look like a fool.
You're not a fool, and you're not a failure. But you are a white male in a world where the power structure is becoming less male and less white every day.
Oh, cute. It's so sad for Brandon. God, I would love to know what point Jim is trying to make here, because it is lost on me. Like, seriously, what is he trying to say?
I feel like as written, like on paper, he's just like, you know, the deal, like, people have issues with this speech.
Right.
You don't get it. That's your privilege. Deal with it. But then the way that Eckhouse delivers it is very like, it's inappropriately like hearty. I don't know. Like it doesn't match up. I don't think. I think that's why it's weird.
Yeah, true. So then Brandon runs into Andrea on campus the next day, and they make small talk for a minute before Brandon says he saw her on TV, and he is actually nice about it, unbelievably. When she apologizes for some of the extremes of what she said, he tells her she doesn't need to, but accepts the apology. She gives him more of an idea of the strategizing behind the scenes at the Maccabee Center. Brandon suggests that Andrea and Janice get together to talk about security at the event, and Andrea has just accepted when they arrive at the Interface Center, which has been vandalized with swastikas. How does the soundtrack feel about this? Click 20.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Even Grandma Rose is like, enough. The protest resumes the next day. Brandon and Whitmore are trying to make the Maccabees paint over the swastikas. And the Maccabee Center people say they'll do it in the morning. They want to keep them visible until after Turner's speech. And this poor actor playing Dean Whitmore has to act like he doesn't understand why they wouldn't want to remove the evidence of this hate crime right away. Like, I hope a college dean would get that. Janice finds Andrea to give her a copy of the statement that the Black Student Union intends to release, but Andrea is not receptive to her polite overtures in clip 21.
Look, I can't deal with you right now. Okay.
Look, I just don't want you to blame us for everything that's been happening.
Of course I blame you. I mean, you're the ones who invited Turner here. You're the ones who created an atmosphere of hate on this campus. It wasn't us.
Andrea, you're basing your entire opinion of Dr. Turner on one bootleg videotape that is not a true reflection of what he or his organization is all about.
Oh, really? Then maybe your Dr. Turner would like to see my videotape. The one where my grandmother describes what it was like to be in Buchenwald. I'm sure that would go over great.
Oh, Andrea. This is not a contest of who's had it worse. Seriously.
No, it's not. And you're going to lose. So.
Yeah. Claire and David come back to the apartment for the tiny, intimate dinner party with bad news. David has suddenly decided to connect with his Jewish heritage and go to protest Turner's speech. But Claire will be back in time, she says. Then Andrea, Grandma Rose, and Jesse are having the Sabbath dinner. Andrea pulls Grandma Rose aside to assure her that she'll be safe at the protest that night and tries to have a moment. But Grandma Rose basically tells her to get over herself in clip 22.
I know how distressing this must be for you.
Do you?
Of course I do. All the horrible memories it must bring back. And that here in America in the 1990s, anti-Semitism and ignorance still exists must just be...
Andrea, there will always be ignorance and swastikas and hate crimes and worse. But for me tonight, what is distressing is to hear that you've been fighting with your friends and have distanced from your husband.
But that's because they don't understand how dangerous a man like Turner is. That's why we have to speak out. We can't let ourselves be intimidated.
That's important. But there's also a time to listen, a time to turn the other cheek.
What are you suggesting, that I join the welcoming committee?
Hey, it's getting awful lonely in here.
Coming.
Grandma, I want to understand.
What I have to say may not make sense to a modern person like yourself. But in the Talmud, it is said that if a man is an anti-Semite, he must be spurned, for he's too consumed with hate to listen to reason. But if someone like Dr. Turner is first a man who seeks the good of his community and then is anti-Semitic, we must reach out to him. For if given a chance, he will eventually see the error of his ways.
But Roland Turner isn't that kind of man.
Well, how do you know? If I were you, I would not stay outside and protest, but I would be inside that auditorium to bear witness.
Does the Talmud really say that about anti-Semites? I feel like that's really specific.
I don't like that the show puts Andrea in the position of, like, telling her own grandmother, who presumably has figured out a way to live with having been in Buchenwald.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, this must be triggering you. And Grandma Rose is like, I'm good.
Right.
I lived and I cope with it. Like,
right.
I don't know. This whole episode, like, I'm sure it was absolutely well meant.
Yeah.
But...
it's so embarrassing.
Yeah, and that's when it makes sense that, like, sometimes I don't even understand what they're trying to say, and that's a blessed relief from the full body cringing I'm doing the rest of the time. And Grandma Rose really uncorks one, but we'll get to it.
So Ray shows up for his birthday celebration. He didn't know anything about this happening, so why Donna tells him about the plans that everyone ruined, I'm sure, I don't know. But Ray has the right idea in clip 23.
Donna, I didn't come over to see Claire and David. I don't even like Claire and David.
We don't either.
Comes no one does. So sad what ends up happening with Ray, because he really is right about a lot of things. He says that he might like them once he gets to know them, but he really just wanted to see Donna. And she hustles off to get him his present, which is a new fancy guitar. And he's embarrassed that she spent so much, but she says he's worth it. The BSU, meanwhile, Black Student Union, made a silk banner for Turner's one-night engagement at the school. Okay. Students silently protest outside with candles, and Brandon gives an interview the way he does everything else, like a cock, in clip 24.
Don't you think there'll be trouble once Turner starts speaking?
Oh, I think we'll be able to keep the situation under control here. The campus security's out in force tonight, and the Maccabee Center promised to conduct themselves with dignity and aplomb, and as you can see, they are being true to their word.
But what if something does happen?
The only thing that's gonna happen is this interview's gonna end, so why don't you go chase a fire or something?
You were a newspaper editor. Why are you always so contemptuous of reporters, you dick?
Also, if you're going to be contemptuous of reporters, which you used to be and will be again, mm-hmm. get the expression right, former editor. It's yeah. chase an ambulance, and that's lawyers.
Right.
And kill yourself.
Brandon asks Janice if Turner is there yet. She says punctuality is not his strong suit. No comment. Brandon has a suggestion for the Black Student Union from the Jokes That Have Aged Poorly department in clip 25.
Oh.
Next time, if you plan on doing something like this, maybe you should invite Bill Cosby.
Ooh. Yeah, that'll help.
Amazing. Grandma Rose has joined Andrea for the protest.
Oh, God.
I know it's bad. You know it's coming. Just brace yourself. So Levy tells them to take candles and join the line. Andrea says they're going in. Levy thinks Andrea is bringing Grandma Rose's cover for however she intends to fuck up the speech. And Andrea doesn't bother to correct him. On their way in, Brandon introduces Janice to Grandma Rose. And we're reminded that everyone has their stereotypes. In clip 26.
I saw you on the news last night. You're very well spoken.
Ah! Oh, Grandma!
Oh, poor Janice just smiles and says thank you, because what's the point? She's an old lady. It's too late.
Exactly. Oh, poor Janice.
Yeah, this is like the time. I'll just say it because I know she's never going to hear this. We went to my sister's husband is of Chinese heritage. And when everyone was in town right before their wedding, we went to a Vietnamese restaurant, and my grandma was asking Derek what to order.
That's right. I forgot.
Not the same, Grandma. Anyway, Andrea asks if it would be okay for them to go in, and Janice says they should sit with her. Janice would love to watch the interview that Grandma Rose did about the Holocaust for some history project that Andrea had referred to before. Brandon says he would too. No, he wouldn't. Andrea peels off to hug David and the crowd of protesters, and Brandon is left to wonder what it's all about, and so are we, because we never get to hear Turner speak. Shut up, show! The end! Oh, we all learned a nothing. Let's really wrap this up with
well,
the most
that
valuable...
was very well spoken, Tara.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Let's do the MVP. Alex Diaz.
Oh, Alex Diaz. Clap, 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 clap. Yeah, no contest.
So right about Brandon and his bullshitty ways. Speaking of whom, least valuable player. I mean, Roland Turner for all that anti-Semitic talk, but also Brandon.
Yeah, Jesse's in the mix, though. I mean, I'm also voting Brandon, but Jesse, just shut up.
Yeah. He's terrible. Speaking of Brandon, let's do the Moo Moo Parker Challenge. Five ways from this episode that Brandon might have ended up dead.
One of those candles at the vigil sets his giant pants on fire, and by the time he figures a way to get out of the giant pants, he's burned to death.
Crushed under the weight of his gavel at the Senate meeting because it's large and he's wee.
Trampled by protesters?
Strangled to death by Janice's extra scrunchie? Chokes on his own unacknowledged privilege and dies. That
sure. Yes, I'm fine with that. Next time on Again With This, the Rolling Stones come to town, prompting the rare episode in which the main characters all interact with each other. Don't worry, though. The challenge to Brandon's stupid presidency means it's still an extremely boring hour of television. You won't get no satisfaction from our visual aids, which you can find for this and every other Again With This episode on our website at previously.tv. You can also follow us on Twitter at previously.tv. I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and I wanted Anita Hill to come. You can find me on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host Tara Ariano is down with the First Amendment, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is at Glark on Twitter, and he's very well spoken, too. We'll talk to you next time.
That's true. I have late breaking news, guys.
Oh?
Yes. You can follow Again With This on Twitter.
Yes.
At AWT90210.
Duh, we forgot.
Yeah, yes, that's okay. That's sure why did. I'm here, guys.
Thank you, Dave.
All right.
Very well spoken, like I said.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
Let me ask you this. Did you think the late breaking news was that I found out who the husband's name was?
Yes.
I didn't.
I did.
No. I'm going to say Barry or Jim now.
Happy anniversary!
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.